This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, أيها الأحباب, in every single one of our bodies there is a nucleus, there is a center point, and in our religion, in our lifestyle, we call this the heart. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam once made a very important statement, and it's a statement that we've heard many times, that in the body there is something, if it is pure and clean and righteous, then the rest of the body will illustrate that. But if it's the opposite, where if this organ was bad, it was evil, it was pessimistic, it was negative, then the rest of the body will illustrate that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that it's the heart. This is the hadith where some of the ulama, they say, for those individuals that might believe that as long as I have a good heart, I don't have to really practice, I don't have to really pray, I don't have to really wear hijab, because I've got a good heart. Well, this hadith here actually addresses that problem. Because what you're illustrating is the complete opposite of what you claim to believe. You claim that you have a good heart. You claim that the heart is sincere. But the actions show otherwise. And this is inconsistent to the principles of our Sharia. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in so many places, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Verily upon those who believe, meaning the heart, you have aqidah, you have a sound belief, and they illustrate that through good actions. Ayyuhal Ahbab, this short discussion inshaAllah that I wish to present in front of you is a discussion for us to just pause for a moment. Pause from all the pressures that are around you. Pause from all of the problems that are happening around us. Pause from all of the issues and the ailments and the sicknesses that might be around us. And just breathe for a moment and look back right here. In your own heart, in that own nucleus that you have in your body, and just stop, pause, and analyze. My brothers and sisters, there are three things, three main categories that I wish to share with you regarding our hearts. And the first thing, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, how do you know that you have a good heart? A lot of people, they ask this question even until today. People ask, how do I know that I'm a good person? How do I know that my heart is consistent with my actions? Maybe I feel good or I feel bad, but that doesn't excuse me from at least doing the right thing. I may feel horrible inside of me, but I'm still compelled to do the right thing. I'm still compelled to do the obligations that Allah has obliged upon me. So how do you know that your heart is in the right place? There are a series of ways, a series of signs from them, ayyuhal ahbab. Number one is the attitude of just simply being lazy. the attitude that many brothers and sisters they have of just simply going with the flow. If things feel right, then I'll do something right. But if things are going horribly wrong, then I'm just going to go with the flow. This is why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. He would ask Allah Azza wa Jal, oh Allah, protect me from ever being lazy. Laziness is a sickness of the heart. How do you know when you're lazy? You know when you're lazy for a number of different factors. And the most prime of all of them is that every single moment you might find yourself when you have your spare time, when you have those leisure moments and you're fully rested, you've accomplished all of your responsibilities, you've done everything for the day, and now it's just you alone, nothing else to do. This is the time where you need to maximize that moment. And maximizing that moment doesn't mean that every single day you are in dhikrullah. You will do that, but there are different ways of doing that. Not every single moment you need to have the mushaf open in front of you. Not every single spare moment you need to be praying 2 rak'at. This would all be great, but it's very difficult. Maximizing your time literally means that you are always in a constant state of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether that means to smile with your spouse, to play with your children, to spend time with the family, to go out and be social with the rest of the Muslim community, whatever it takes, as long as your heart goes back to the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. A second problem, a second sign that there might be a problem with our hearts. And number two is, and this unfortunately, subhanAllah, so many people are affected by it. And where acts of worship become like a routine. The brightness of your day, the sunshine of your day, is exactly what you're doing at this moment. This is the brightness of your day. When you come to the remembrance of Allah in however way you do it, when you have that moment and you hear the adhan, or it's time for the salah, it's not like cooking, it's not like working, it's not like those routines that you do, but rather, this is the moment where you pause away from the dunya. You pause away from all the things, all the pressures around you. Now it's you and Allah alone. And that's the problem with a lot of our communities, is that a lot of the brothers and sisters, you don't have that moment where it's just between you and Allah. It's that Allah time where you put aside everything. You've taken care of the kids, they're sleeping or they're fed. Everybody is taken, accounted for. Now it's for you to just pray 2 rak'ats for absolutely no reason. Now it's your time to sit down and open the mushaf and just recite one surah of the Qur'an. So the second factor is that acts of worship just seem like part of our schedule each and every day. No, brothers and sisters, look forward, inshallah, that Asr will be coming. Look forward, inshallah, that Maghrib will follow. Look forward, inshallah, that when you finish your job today, when you finish your school, when you finish your responsibilities, on the way home, I'm going to stop off at that masjid and finish my day with Salatul Isha ma'al Jama'ah, with the rest of my community. Number three, the third factor, is that sins and mistakes, they become a habit. They become habitual. A prime example of this, brothers and sisters, is a person that may smoke a cigarette. Now recently, a brother came into my office and he said to me that smoking, it is not haram. And he came with all of his evidences and he says, look, you know, there's an ikhtilaf and so on. So it's not haram. I'm permitted to smoke. So I said to the brother, just pause for a moment. Because the majority of the ulama say that it is haram for a number of reasons. But sometimes you have to use logic, because when a person is addicted to doing the wrong thing, it's very difficult to change that. So I said to the brother, just pause. Imagine if Abu Bakr radiyallahu anh, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anh, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anh, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anh, Mughir ibn Shu'ba, all of these different companions. And then I said, in addition to that, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, they came and they sat right there. I said, how would you feel pulling out a cigarette and lighting it in front of them? These are the same individuals. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want to eat onions because it left an aftertaste in his mouth. He just chose not to do that. Now imagine if you were to puff a cigarette in front of him. Imagine if they were here and they saw this. How would you feel? Alhamdulillah. Because of that simple logic, the brother, he took out his pack of cigarettes and he gave it to me and he said, wallahi, I will never smoke again. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you have to use this logic even on yourself. Think about the mistakes and the sins that you might be falling into, but you just can't see anything wrong with them anymore. Recently, a while ago actually, brothers and sisters, I gave a khutbah about gazing and how to lower the gaze. A brother, he comes to me after the khutbah and he says, why would you make that a khutbah? It's not really a big problem. I mean, look around you. What can we do? Let's just bygones be bygones and that's just life goes on. What can we do? And I said, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you from this. Because you've gotten used to something to such an extent, you just can't see anything wrong with it anymore. This is a sign that the heart has been stamped by Allah Azza wa Jal. Another factor, brothers and sisters, is that the heart, it also shuts down Iman. It shuts down and it closes the doors of the nur and the light of Iman and guidance and advice coming to you, just like a virus would shut down our immune systems. Just like a sickness or a headache will disrupt your entire day. That's the same way when you have a hard heart. Somebody will come and advise you, you're not going to listen immediately. You might need somebody to come and twist it into you. You might hear the khutbas, you might hear the lectures, you might hear all the conferences, but it's not going to sink in at that moment. And so brothers and sisters, with a hard heart, it starts to close the doors of Iman one by one. This is why the Prophet ﷺ once said, Inna al-mu'min, verily the believer, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ, whenever they do a sin, كَانَتْ نُقْتَةٌ سَوْدَى عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ, then Allah will stamp their hearts with one black stamp. One black stamp. And if they increase, فَإِنْ زَادَ زَادَتْ, and if they continue to increase in all of these sins, then Allah Azza wa Jal will cause that their hearts become stamped over and over. حَتَّى يُغْلَفُ قَلْبُ, until the entire heart is covered and sealed. فَذَاكَ الرَّان, that is the ran or the rust that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Qur'an. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, by no means their heart has been rusted or stained. Imagine, brothers and sisters, when you have a rust on your car, it's not something that you want to be there. Imagine if you have all of these things. Rust in and of itself feels dirty. It doesn't have even a pleasant sight to it. It doesn't even look clean. So imagine if you have that kind of rust on the purest, most important organ in our bodies. And so, brothers and sisters, the next question that we want to ask, what are the things that lead us to causing our hearts to become hardened? What are those factors that eventually lead to that stage? How do I know that I'm on a path where my heart is going to be hardened or it's going to be stamped by Allah Azza wa Jal? Number one is that a person would only remember Allah Azza wa Jal only in times of need. Only when they're pinched with a problem, only when a calamity strikes, only when there's an issue, then they will turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let me give you an example. As a marriage counselor, brothers and sisters, it's so overwhelming how many times people will come to the office and they would say, I am absolutely heartbroken. Because I was in a marriage, I was in a relationship, and at that time, I wasn't remembering Allah, I wasn't praying, I wasn't doing anything for al-Islam. But because their heart was broken, it caused them now, this is why I'm turning to Allah. And they would come to me and they say, Brother Musleh, you know, after all these problems happen, I'm asking Allah to cure it, but He's not curing it for me. This is a problem in and of itself. How do you expect to lose the battle in all of those smaller stages and then win the grand finale, win the final battle? How do you expect to do that? This is how we train our soul and our iman to be consistent. This is how you can train yourself that when you do fall off the wagon, you can pick yourself back up and get back on immediately. It's not something that can happen spontaneous. It's not something that can happen at that moment. Because if it does, and brothers and sisters, wallahi, this is something not from myself. This is something that our ulama, they teach us. That if you do find yourself that tomorrow you become righteous, tomorrow you become religious, then wait for the moment where the following day, or 1 week later, or 2 weeks later, you will crack and break. Why? Because there was no consistency in it. Start off slow. Start off training your body slowly. A sister came and took shahada from me when I was visiting one of the other provinces. And when the sister came to me, she says, I want to be Muslim, but I'm scared of the hijab. So I said to her, don't wear it. And she was surprised. She was shocked. Why would I say this to her? And then eventually the conversation went and she says, okay, that works for me. I can become Muslim. I don't have to wear the hijab. I gave her the shahada. 3 months later, she sends me an email and she finally understood what I did. Start slow. Eventually what I told that sister, as I said, you don't have to wear the hijab all the time. Just wear it when you pray. And that sister, she went with that. And she started praying 5 times a day and she only wore her hijab 5 times a day. She started to feel the pain and guilt in her heart. And that naturally, because salah is the miftah, it's the door of goodness. So the salah caused that in her heart, she felt guilty. She felt a bit of hypocrisy in her heart. How could I just wear the hijab only 5 times a day? And she became a full-time hijabi. Brothers and sisters, start off slow. Another avenue that leads a person to a hardened heart. And this is extremely important, brothers and sisters, and that is to not live a lifestyle that is according to your morals and ethics, according to your sharia. There is a group of the Yahud that Allah Azza wa Jal talks about in Surah An-Nisa, and He mentions, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. There was a group of people during this time, a group of the Yahudis that they had this problem where they wouldn't follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. They wouldn't live that kind of lifestyle. So what did Allah do? 2 things. لَعَنَّاهُمْ. He sent down His curse upon them. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. And He stamped and He hardened their hearts. Number 3, the third avenue, is that we follow our bodily desires. Now just listen to this for a moment. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Don't think about following bodily desires from a sexual standpoint. But brothers and sisters, one of the great scholars, by Bishr ibn al-Hadith, rahimahullah, he mentions that bodily desires, what's included in that are 2 things. 2 things will destroy your heart. Number 1, eating too much. And number 2, talking too much. And this is why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam once told us 2 things. Number 1, he talks about the stomach and he talks about dividing it into 3 categories. Why? Because the goal, The goal and the purpose of when you eat is not to fill your stomach, but it's to satisfy your hunger. There's a difference between the two. When you fill your stomach, it becomes very difficult for you to do normal things. But when your hunger is satisfied, immediately you can pray. Immediately you can continue with your work and do the things that you need to do. The second hadith about the talking, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that of the people that will be the farthest from me on Yawmul Qiyamah is a group called Al-Thartharoon. These are the people, brothers and sisters, they are the ones that just simply talk too much. You might ask yourself, well, what's the problem with talking? That's not the issue. The problem is talking too much, becoming a chatterbox, becoming the person that holds a long conversation talking about all 101 different things at one moment. Even our tongues, our sharia gives us rules. Even the halal, the mubah, permissible things have restraints, have borders around them. And this here, subhanAllah, some of the salaf, they used to say that we were able to count every word that came out of our mouths from Jum'ah to Jum'ah. We were able to count them. Now you don't have to go to that extent, but it just gives you a perspective. It gives you something to aim for. It gives you an outlook to look at. That this is the extent of controlling our appetites and controlling our tongues. Brothers and sisters, at this point here, the last avenue before we pause and then we will give you the cures inshallah. Because after we understand the da', we want to know the dawa'. After we understand the sickness, we want to know how to cure those sicknesses. But the final avenue that leads to a heart becomes stamped by Allah Azza wa Jal is when a person laughs too much. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told us, إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ. I warn you of laughing too much. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ. That verily the person who laughs too much, it will destroy and kill their hearts. And this is something, subhanAllah, can you imagine how much care? This is not something to be worried, some brothers and sisters. Don't be worried, because these are easy things that you can accomplish. Easy things that you can monitor. But it's just amazing that, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal sends down a sharia telling us how to walk, how to eat, how to breathe, how to smile, when to laugh, how to eat. All of these different aspects are touched in our religion. This is one of the greatest, most profound points that teaches you that inshallah, inshallah, you are on the path of the truth. Brothers and sisters, we will pause for a moment. And inshallah, in the second part of the khutbah, I will share with you some of the ways to cure these problems. And then following that, I will make one important announcement regarding today's khutbah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal, أن يجعلنا وإياكم بقلب لينا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant myself and all of you with a softened heart. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our souls and cause that our sincerity be accepted by Him, and solely for بِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلِكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد فعرفنا الداء فما هو الدواء. We know the sicknesses, we know the ailments, we know the problems. How do we fix it? Because it's fundamentally wrong for me to stand up in front of you and throw all of these problems and don't offer a solution. That's fundamentally wrong of me to do that for you. And so the way to cure a problematic heart, a hardened heart, number one is the most important. If number one is all you can do at this stage, at this moment, فَيَكْفِي, it is enough. And that is ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, two words, dhikrullah. Once a man came to Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, and he asked him, "My heart is hardened, what should I do?" And Hassan al-Basri orders this man to live a life of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do whatever it is that you need to do that constantly causes you to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And that leads us to the second solution. And that is to physically help others who are in need. Don't go on an internet website and then put your credit card or your money and say, "Okay, I want to donate for so-and-so." Try to physically feel what it's like to help out an individual. Let me give you an example. Once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, "Ya Rasulullah, I have a hardened heart, how do I fix it?" So the Prophet ﷺ told him to do two things. Number one, go to a family and assist them, give them charity. You notice the Prophet ﷺ doesn't say give them charity, he says to them, go and do it in person yourself. Go and see the realities of the people who are suffering. And then the second thing he tells the man, go to an orphan child and rub him on his head. And then some of the ulama, when they looked at this, they extracted a beautiful wisdom behind this. Go and help a family physically on your own. Taste what it feels like to see others that are less fortunate, that are suffering, that are dying, that are struggling. And then you will start to count all of the blessings that you have, and you wouldn't be able to count them all. If you can't do that because it's difficult or circumstance doesn't allow it, then the least, look what the Prophet ﷺ tells this man to do. The least you should do is show rahmah and mercy to everyone around you, especially the children. Love the children, love the future of this ummah, love the progeny, love the people that are going to carry the torch for you. Give them encouragement, and the best way to do that is to have mercy on them. And then the final point, brothers and sisters, that I wish to leave you with, is one of the great students of the Sahaba, Malik ibn Dinar radiallahu anhu, he once mentioned that when Allah Azza wa Jal stamps the heart of an individual, that is the worst thing that could ever happen. The worst thing that could ever happen to a person is that Allah causes their hearts to become stamped. And the final solution that I leave you with, brothers and sisters, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us to constantly remember the destroyer of the desires. And that is none other than death. Remember your next time. Remember tomorrow. Remember the next. Remember Asr is coming. But nobody knows if we're going to be praying Asr today. Remember that tomorrow or next week will come another Jum'ah. But nobody knows this could be the final khutbah of my life here at this moment. And so, brothers and sisters, just remember that ultimate reality that is always going to be in front of us. And this leads me to one announcement, inshallah, that I wish to share with all of you. The Khalid ibn Walid Mosque, that many of us here we know, one of the oldest masjids here in Toronto, they will be holding their 14th annual conference at the International Center on Airport Road. This will happen on May the 18th and May the 19th, inshallah. It's a Saturday and Sunday. This is going to be a grand conference. And you know what the beauty about it is? The theme of the conference is titled, "The Sound Heart." How do I perfect what's here? All the things that I mentioned to you, this is going to be the topic of discussion at this conference. And brothers and sisters, inshallah, we will have speakers that will come from all over the world, including Sheikh Riyad al-Razazi, myself, Sheikh Saeed, Dr. Abdul Hakim Quick, Sheikh Umar Sulaiman, Sheikh Naveed Aziz, like so many other speakers, inshallah, will be a part of this conference. And so this is an encouragement to myself and to all of you. Brothers and sisters will be here. They will be selling their tickets. Please try to support them as best as you can. Wallahi, this is a conference. This is a theme. It can never be fully exercised. You're always going to need to pause from everything around you and look inside and see where exactly is my heart. You will see these brothers and sisters as you leave the masjid. Try your best to support them, inshallah. And finally, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His mercy and His rahmah, His peace, His security, His love, His blessing, His forgiveness, all of the things that we need to have a healthy lifestyle spiritually and physically in this world, and give us His Jannah in the Akhirah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us this. And brothers and sisters, we conclude by sending peace and blessings to our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili, inna allaha wa malaikatahu يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.